Why don't we just take a second and pray one more time before we jump into the Word of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your greatness, for your goodness. And as we talk about today, we thank you for your faithfulness. Think of that there's no one else like you, so you're worthy of our praise. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you open our ears to hear what your Spirit and what your Word is saying to us this morning? Would you inspire us, O God, to be faithful stewards of your Word, but also faithful stewards of your church and faithful stewards of the mission you've called us to as your sons and your daughters, as your followers? We just thank you now in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Matthew 7, 16. Jesus said to his followers, he says, "By your fruit you will recognize them." He says to those, in regards to his followers, "By their fruit you will recognize them." Not by the car they drive, not by the church they attend, not by anything else, he says, but by their fruit, you will recognize them. And so if you were to do a deep dive reflection this morning of all the things that you've planted in your life, all the things that you've sowed into your life that would reproduce itself, what would you see? You don't have to answer me out loud, but think for a minute. What would you see? Of all the things that you've sown in your life, what would you see? Now, we also know, as I mentioned last week briefly at the beach, if you ever plant a garden, particularly a vegetable garden, a flower garden, and you come back and you get excited as you see green things stop popping through the soil or start popping through the soil, only discover that it's not the fruit you planted, it's not the vegetable or the flower that you planted, you might soon discover, no, that's a weed that popped up there. And you say, "I swear I didn't plant any weeds in that garden." Anyone have that experience at all? Well, where did those weeds come from? I didn't plant them. My kids maybe might have planted them, but as my father-in-law, my wife will tell me the story of finding out in the fall that these squirrels had moved a bunch of seeds and they had tulips all over their yard in random places growing through the yard. Well, I didn't plant them there. They planted them in the garden. Well, the squirrels came and moved. Well, there's things in our life that have been sown and planted not by us, and they may produce fruit, but it may not be good fruit. Or they produce something that is not the fruit that Jesus is talking about here. And so what do we have to do? We have to deal. We have to weed out the garden. And so we do that with our faith with Jesus by bringing what is in the darkness to light, by showing off what is supposed to be there and what's not supposed to be there and say, "Hey, Jesus, would you deal with this? Would you help me handle this?" Or maybe I planted that years ago, but that's not who I am anymore, but I still have this habit. I still have this remnant that remains and say, "Jesus, would you come and make me whole again?" And as we look through the garden, we may discover there's just some things we didn't see before, or we see them differently. We thought what was good at one time, all of a sudden we realize that's not good anymore, or that was never good, but it's still there. And so we say, "Jesus, now that I've seen it, would you help and remove it?" And the best way to do that is just to simply call the darkness into the light, or bring the light into the darkness. And so we do that in the garden. And so we do that when we come together with one another. We do that when we pray. We might do that when we worship. We might have alone time with God, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God speaks to us and says, "You know the thing that you always do? That's not good for you to do. And so let me help you do something different." And those are hard moments. And these are the process and the development of the fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives. As more of God comes into our heart, as more of God comes into our lives, as we continue to allow him deeper and deeper into ourselves, we start to take out the things that don't fit. I was thinking that Elizabeth did an illustration, and it was like, you guys remember when Pastor Elizabeth did this illustration, but you weren't there because we were at family camp at Silver Birches. And so she'll do an illustration another week. She's going to speak next week. But you all know if you put, I got coffee here. If I want to get the coffee out of the cup, but I don't want the cup to be empty, what do I got to do? I got to pour another liquid into the cup. And so if I want to displace the coffee, I'm going to fill it up with, let's say, something healthier like water. Well, water is good. Does anyone here drink enough water? Anyone not drink enough water? Who's thirsty now? Okay. But we know that in order to displace the coffee, it's going to take a lot of water. But we got to make room for water by taking out the coffee. And so it's the same thing with our lives. If we want to make more room for God, he's going to start to remove the things that don't belong there. All right, let's move on. I think you get the point. Galatians 2:20, we have Paul speaking in the same letter as he talks about fruit of the Spirit. He says, I no longer live, but Christ lives within me. Or Christ lives in me. This is what the fruit of the Spirit is all about. God producing in us what the law never could. This is what the fruit is all about. Letting God produce in us what the law never could. Grace doesn't just save us from sin. It transforms us from the inside out. Now, how many here have an ugly house? Like, I can't wait to make the house look pretty on the outside. All of you have beautiful houses. Wonderful. Okay, I'm thankful for that. My house eventually is going to need some help. I'll just leave it at that. Okay, I don't mind the color. I don't mind the look, but it's just going to need some help. But if you come into my house, you would walk in and go, Gary, the inside of your house really needs some help. But if I fix it up on the outside, you're going to think, oh, what a lovely, lovely house. And then you're going to walk inside and go, there's something that's not quite right here. Now, put the building science construction aside because, as you know, even with our own church building, we have a foyer that we need to finish. But, you know, we weren't going to finish the foyer without finishing the roof because what happened in the foyer? That's where the water leaked, right? So we're going to finish the foyer, only have the roof leak? Of course not. We are going to fix it from the top down, so to speak, which is opposite of how Jesus works in our lives. He doesn't care what we look like on the outside. He cares about what we look like on the inside. And what happens on the outside will be a reflection eventually of what has already taken place on the inside, because Jesus told the others, he said, by my followers, you will recognize them by their fruit. And the only way that that exists is when we choose to die to ourselves and let Christ live within us. Now, we continue to read in Galatians chapter 6, as Paul talks all about this new and free humanity that God is creating. Beautiful start to the chapter. He talks about living in freedom, and you can go back and read that for yourselves. But in Galatians 5:22, he says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. And so if you keep going backwards a little bit, Paul contrasts the fruit of the Spirit with the desires of the flesh. He takes the do whatever feels good mentality, do whatever feels right, and he changes that with don't chase what feels good. He says, doesn't say take what you can while you can. And let's be honest, we kind of like to live there sometimes. That's what our culture tells us all the time, right? Just take as much as you can. Like when you go to Costco, fill the cart as much as you possibly can. Like, it's already, you know, a double box of Honey Nut Cheerios. You might as well just get two of them because the kids are hungry. You can have four big family-sized boxes of Honey Nut Cheerios. Or as the kids discovered in the pantry this morning, well, I didn't really like the cereal out there, but Dad, we found the Cinnamon Toast Crunch up on the top shelf in the back. Can we have some of that this morning? And that was you may have one bag and a moderate amount of cereal in your bowl. Because how many know if we give them a full, oversized bowl of sugar, it's not going to go well for anybody. But this is what we want, right? This is what feels good. Yesterday, we were having quite the lazy, quiet day at home. Proud of a lazy day once in a while. We were up super late on Friday night with the Lighthouse Festival. Had a fantastic time there. Showed the movie in the park with some of the kids and families. And by the time the movie's done, it's like 11:30. Bring the kids home. Brought the equipment back to the church. Got home. It was like 12:30. And I drove one loop around town to see what was still happening. And I just would hit some people wearing black walking in the dark on the side of the road, not on the sidewalk. Like, that's just not smart. So wear reflective gear if you're going to walk at night. Anyways, all that to say is lazy day yesterday, and we went to the pool, and I came home, and I was super hungry. And so instead of, like, eating beforehand throughout the day properly, I went home, and I just grabbed whatever I could from the fridge, leftovers, and just ate it. Like, I'm still hungry because I ate too fast. And it's like, and then I laid down to have a nap because it was lazy. And then if you've ever eaten and had a nap, how many know that feels great, right? Not at all. So Paul says, you know, the world will tell you, do what feels right, chase what feels good, take what you can while you can. And sometimes that feels good for a season. It works for a little while, but then it doesn't. Then you get that awful feeling of, I just ate too much, and it's not great at all. Anyways, you don't need to hear about my diet anymore. But things change when the Holy Spirit fills us up. Things change when we take a posture of surrender, and things change when the fruit of the Spirit starts to grow in our life. When the Holy Spirit fills us, when God himself takes residence up inside of us, we start to reflect who he is. We start to reflect his good fruit. And fruit is not about doing. It's not about doing the good things. Again, it's not about looking good on the outside. Like, we can modify our behavior all we want. Like, I could whip Andrew into shape here pretty quickly if we wanted to. But it's not going to change. He stood up, so I had to pick on him a little bit. But it's not going to change the posture of his heart. Only Jesus can do that. Sorry, thanks, bud. Thanks for letting me pick on you. Give a hand to Andrew today for getting picked on, for being the center of attention. And Lord bless you, Andrew. Appreciate that you're here. But it's not about the outside that determines who we are. It's what happens on the inside. It's what God does on the inside, from the inside out, who determines what we value, who we love, and how we live. Now, as we talk about faithfulness this morning, before we talk about faithfulness, let's talk about change. How many here love change? How many here like change? How many here despise change? If I never had to change anything, I would never change a thing. None of you put your hand up. I've met some of you. Some of you fall into the category of, I don't like change outside of my control. I don't know if anyone likes that kind of change. But I imagine every single one of us in the room and online this morning have had plans change, whether we wanted them to or not. Maybe it's something simple, like you're going to go to Drifters for lunch, but it's going to be closed, so you're going to drive to Scriber and have to go to Rosie's and Josie's or something, or the Golden Rail. Maybe that's something simple, no big deal. Maybe it's something bigger, like the wedding venue cancels on you the day before your big day, and you have to suddenly scramble to find a new wedding venue. I'm thankful I've not been a part of any wedding where that has happened. Let's be fair, though. If it was your funeral plans that got changed, you wouldn't care at all. I thought that was funnier than most of you realized. Just because the funeral is maybe about you, but it's not for you, just so you know. So, just, and I say that for this, there's a serious reason to say that as well, because there's a number of people who call me and they say, you know, our family member just passed away. They don't want a funeral or anything, but we kind of want to do something, but they didn't want anything. I said, well, good, because it's not for them, it's just about them, but it's for you. So if you're one of those people, I don't want anything, well, too bad. Too bad, you're getting something, okay? Even if it's just me standing at the side of your grave celebrating your life, okay? You're going to get something. It's just the way it's going to be. But life is full of change. Let's admit it. Some of us love it. Some of us fight it with everything we've got. I think of my grandmother. I don't know if you know this. I think you could tell me if you're older. The older you get, I think the more stubborn you get and the more you dislike when things change. Is that true? If you would be so willing to put up your hand, thank you, Corey. You're not even that old. So maybe I'm wrong, and that's okay. But my grandmother, and rightfully so, went to the same bank in Westport pretty much her entire life. And one day they decided to close the branch, and she had to go to the bigger branch, wait in line, and, you know, she's 96 now, so that's kind of a pain. She doesn't drive anymore, but parking, like, she had to drive on the busier street. She had to park in the bigger, busier parking lot and all of the things, right? It was just a change, and it was just annoying. And the people that she used to go to retired, they didn't work there anymore, and so it just became a frustrating experience. We don't know what that's like at all in Terrace Bay, what having a bank close or Scriber, right? Like, you laugh. And if you're visiting this morning, both of our banks are now closed in the both communities. And it's super inconvenient change, obviously. But what's harder is when change isn't your choice. What's even harder than that is when someone promised you something and they didn't deliver. We call that disappointment. We might even just call that heartbreak, depending on the situation. When someone did not deliver on the promises, they did not do what they said they were going to do. That's not just change. But we sing songs about change all the time. If you've been a fan of Taylor Swift, which sometimes I am, if you have kids, you've sung the songs from Frozen. Some things never change, and then you watch the movie in Frozen 2, everything changes. And maybe you're a Gordon Lightfoot fan, good Canadian musician. He says, you know, everything's changed when the feelings are gone. I don't know where we went wrong, blah, 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 blah. You might know that song. But we sing about change all the time. And what happens is we sing about change because change invokes a number of different feelings in us. Feelings of frustration, sometimes feelings of guilt, as I said, disappointment, heartbreak, all of those things. But sometimes there's just like this uneasy tension that we go through. Like it doesn't feel right anymore. But then our feelings change as circumstances change and as seasons change. The good news here this morning is that even in the middle of some of that awkward tension we feel as things are different, right? You maybe feel this tension after following Jesus for a season and you realize the people that you used to hang out with, you know, you've changed, but they haven't. And then there's this awkward, like, tension relationship that happens with those people. And it's, I don't know where to move forward from here. It's like, I've experienced something new, something alive, something real, and I want that for you, but you're not ready for that yet. And that's an odd, difficult place and tension for us to live in because we've had a positive change in our life. One thing is for certain, though, and we sang about it a few times this morning. I don't know if Elizabeth picked the songs on purpose or if that's just the way the Spirit led her to choose the songs this morning. But one thing is for certain is that our God never changes. Our God never changes. The promises that he makes, he never breaks. The things that he tells us is going to happen will happen in his time. The good news is that God never changes, which is why I think Paul includes this word faithfulness in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness is being loyal, steadfast, unwavering. The Greek word is pistis. It's the word for faith, trust, conviction. You see it over 243 times in the New Testament. It's not just about believing something in your head. It's living it out with your life. Being faithful isn't just saying you're going to do something. It's the follow through to actually do it. Now, how many love follow through? All of us love follow through. No one likes to be let down or disappointed. Well, you know, that guy said he was going to come, and, who can I pick? I'm not going to pick on anybody. You guys know what it's like to have someone not show up in your life, I'm sure. Think of all the, I remember growing up, there was a shortage of contractors, and anyone wanted to build a deck, do a window, do a roof, any of them would have a moment, a hard time, and the contractor would say, I'd be here at this time, at this day, and he would never show up. Like, it was just, like, very common. Maybe you've lived through that yourself, maybe you experienced it, equals disappointment. Well, being faithful is not just believing something in your head, it's living it out with your life. It's showing up, doing the things you said you're going to do. The best part about faithfulness for us in the fruit of the Spirit is that our faithfulness doesn't flow from our passion. Our faithfulness doesn't flow out of a good idea. Our faithfulness doesn't flow out of our feelings. Our faithfulness flows out of God's faithfulness. And that's refreshing for some of us, I hope, is that in my weakness, he is made strong. James 1 and 17 says, every good and perfect gift has come from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. You go to Psalm 100, verse 5, proven again and again and again. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. God doesn't shift. He doesn't flake. He doesn't ghost you. He is faithful. Sometimes God may be silent in our prayers. Sometimes he may be quiet. Sometimes he just tests our faith. But he is always there, and he is always faithful. That's why I can trust him. That's why we can trust him. That's why we can live faithfully, because his Spirit lives in us. It makes us steady, it makes us reliable, and it makes us true. That sounds like a good politician speech, eh? Steady, reliable, true. Just saying. But again, our faithfulness doesn't come from our ideas. Our faithfulness comes from God's faithfulness. Our faithfulness comes from the Spirit of God. And when the Spirit of God speaks, we know that he is faithful and he is true. I lost the reference. I didn't write it down. But we also know that even in our failure, when we are unfaithful to God, we know that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you know the reference for that verse, you can go take something out of Pastor Katie's office as a treat reward, if you know the reference. No one? Okay, no one gets a treat today. Oh, I knew Frank was going to do it. 1 John, thank you. He's not wrong. I will say, I'm going to pause, because our God is faithful this morning. There's a couple of prayer requests. One of the prayer requests we want to pray for is Pastor Katie herself. She just came back from youth camp last night. Her and Brandon rolled in with some of our young people about 10:30, and she texted me this morning. She's got no voice and isn't feeling great, so we want to pray for her this morning. We also got a prayer request text message. You guys remember Allie and her two boys, Max and Jax, who've come to church a couple times. They are on the move to Alberta, and so we want to just pray a blessing over them as well, and just trust that God will be with them in this next season of change in their life. And we just trust that God will be faithful in their life and story moving forward. And there was, there's a couple other things that we know about, and there's some things in your life that you say, God, I would love to see your faithfulness show up again and again and again. God, I need to see your healing. I need to see your favor in my family and in my kids or grandkids. And I know some of you are carrying some heavy burdens. And so we want to just throw those burdens and cast them on the one who is faithful. And in his good and perfect time, we just trust that God will do a good work. Amen. We believe that healing is for today. We believe that miracles are for today, that the Spirit moves today. And if the Spirit can move inside of us to make us faithful in the things that he's called us to do, we know that God's Spirit will move and bring healing and restoration to the things that need healed and restored, and to the people in our bodies that need healing and restoration. For those that need provision, we know that God will provide. As we sang in the song today, he is the same God. As we sang in the other song today, he is our miracle worker. And so today we trust in the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God makes us steady, reliable, and true, just as God is always faithful and consistent, loyal, steady, reliable, and true. And so the simple questions today: what does faithfulness look like in our lives? I can talk for a while, so I'm not going to talk too much longer. I could go on and on and on. I'm faithful to go on and on and on. You guys know me well enough. But let's just get to the point this morning. What does faithfulness look like in your life? If you're married, it means being a faithful spouse, even when you don't feel like it, when your feelings are up and down. I've done a couple weddings this last summer, and last Saturday I did two weddings in the same day, and it's so much fun sitting down with a couple and talking about what drives each other crazy and saying, think about those things for a moment. And say, okay, you know, it's not a big deal that one leaves the lid of the toothpaste off and the other doesn't. Like, it really doesn't matter, right? For those who put the toothpaste lid on, you're like, it does matter. And for the ones who leave it off, you're like, it doesn't matter. I'm here as the pastor to tell you, it doesn't really matter. Your marriage will be successful whether you put the lid on the toothpaste or not. But here's the thing. The day you have a bad day, and you come home and you walk into the bathroom, you see this stupid little lid, you know what I'm talking about, right? And then it all just comes out. I don't think our toothpaste has a screw-on lid, so we've saved our marriage that way. Kids are a different story. Their lid comes off. But parents, Let's skip the marriage thing. Let's talk about being a faithful parent when our feelings are up and down. I haven't figured this one out, I'll be honest. Walked into the bathroom. The kids have sort of their own bathroom. And I walked in there to wash my hands, put the phone on the counter, picked up the phone, and it was covered in toothpaste. It's just... anyway, and they were all sleeping. I couldn't even give them a hard time about it. And then, anyways... you don't need to hear my parenting woes. Oh, that's the next point. But what does living faithfully look like? Being a faithful spouse, even when feelings are up and down. Even when I don't feel like it, and I always talk about the vows, because some couples talk about, you know, they want to write their own vows, and I tell them, okay, you can write your own vows. Here's what a vow is supposed to be. Send them to me. We'll vet your vows and everything. I said, I know how much you love the other person. That's why you're going to get married, right? Like, I love you so much. You're so wonderful. Spend the rest of my life with you. Blah, 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 blah. No, I don't really care. Wow. I care a little bit. Okay, I do care. But what I want to hear is, even when I don't feel like loving you, I'm going to love you. Even when you drive me crazy, I'm going to choose to love you. Even if I don't feel like it, because right now I don't feel like it because you left the lid off the stupid toothpaste container again, and it's driving me crazy. And I'm going to choose to love you anyway. My wife is really good at loving me when she doesn't feel like it, because I can be difficult to love sometimes. And I'll be honest, she's actually a really easy person to love. If you want to find someone easy to live with, meet someone like my wife. She's mine, you can't have her. Faithful even when feelings are up and down. I always tell every couple, come hell or high water, I'm with you. That's the vow. No matter what, I'm with you. This is what God said to his people through generation to generation to generation to generation. Hey, Israel, I'm with you. Yeah, whatever. I'm with you. Yeah, whatever. We're going to go, we're going to worship another God. We're going to take on another cultural practice that's not honoring to the law. We're gonna do whatever feels good. And God says, no matter what, Israel, I am with you. And the marriage covenant is a reflection of this covenant between God and his church. God says to his church, no matter what, I am with you. I will love you. Living faithfully, what does it look like being a faithful parent, even when your kids test every last ounce of your patience? I think I covered that already. We love them. We don't have kids, but we have friends. Being a faithful friend, I'm sure we have people in our life where maybe we've had to walk away from, but there's friends that God has called us to, that even when everyone else walks away from them, they still need a friend. And it's not out of our own strength. Remember, this is not our faithfulness, but God's faithfulness in and through us. When it would be easier just to walk away, we say, no, I'm going to stand with you in your moment of need. I'm going to stand with you in your moment of darkness. I'm not going to let you stay in the moment of darkness. I'm not going to let you continue to do the things that you always do to end up the places you've always been. But even if you choose that, I'm going to be your friend, and I'll be there for you. And finally, probably harder than anything, being a faithful neighbor, faithful citizen, a faithful disciple of Jesus, a faithful neighbor. I don't mean the person that lives next door to you, although it might be. The faithful neighbor, as we read in the Good Samaritan, is what a neighbor is. It's really anybody who has a need, even the people we don't like, even the people that we're supposed to hate, according to customs and culture. Being a faithful neighbor, caring when no one else will care, serving when no one else will serve, loving when no one else will love. Because here's the reality, faithfulness is not about our feelings. Faithfulness sticks to the commitment regardless of how I feel. Faithfulness is being committed to the thick and thin no matter what. Paul continues to write in Galatians 6:9. He says, let us not grow weary of doing good. I don't know about you, but if you're not careful, you can get weary. And you know what happens when you get weary doing good? You get bitter. And bitterness is not faithfulness. Because doing the task with a bitter heart is worse than not doing the task at all. What if I need to say that again? But I think it's stuck. I said, bitterness while doing the task for the sake of doing the task with a bitter heart is better not to have done the task at all. Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That friend that we stuck by for so long, I don't know if you know this, but our prayers don't have an expiration date. Maybe we prayed and we didn't get the result. We prayed again, we didn't get the result. I want you to know that our prayers do not have an expiration date. This is great. There's an empty seat right here. Look at the empty seat of the person that you're probably thinking about right now that, you know, if they would just take a step of faith, if they would just trust my experience with Jesus, but if they would just trust that God wants to have an experience with them. Let us not grow weary of doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we keep sowing faithfulness, God promises that we will reap eternal life. The fruit of the Spirit, it's not about being busy, it's about being formed. It's not about showing off our tools, it's about showing off the harvest. And the reality we know is that God is transforming us right now. He's changing our hearts, our priorities, our lives, so that our community can taste and see that he is good. And he can taste and see, and the community around us can taste and see that not only is he good, but our God is faithful. So we walk by the Spirit. Let's plant faithfulness in our homes, our friendships, our church, and our town, and trust that God, who is faithful, will never let us down. As I just quoted Galatians 6:9, if we just read the whole section on 6, verses 6 to 11 of Galatians, it says this: "Let the one who has taught the word share all the good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows the Spirit will from the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, especially to those who are of our household of faith. Do not give up. Keep going, press on. Through the great times, through the hard times, I believe we'll reap a bountiful harvest." Let me pause and pray for us this morning. God, I pray and thank you for the demonstration of your faithfulness to be faithful to your promise. Lord, from the moment that Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden chose to turn their back on you, Lord, you said that you would make a way when there was no other way, that you would find a way to bring them salvation, to heal them from their pain and their heartache and their separation. You said you would find a way to deal, oh God, with the sin that had crept into their lives. And so today we celebrate the redemption we have through Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of that promise, to be the Savior, to be the sacrificial lamb that would end all other sacrifices. And so today, what we have left, Lord, is the opportunity for us to surrender ourselves to you, to sacrifice our old lives to you, so that you may come and breathe new life and give us new life. As Paul says, we are raised together in Christ. Would you raise us up now, Jesus? Lord, for the areas in our life that we've been unfaithful, inconsistent, or unreliable in, I pray, oh God, that there would be a heart of repentance that would, as it was revealed to us today. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would show the areas in our life that need improvement. I pray that we'd have the humility to admit it, oh God. And I pray today that we'd have the courage to stand and lean into your faithfulness so that as people look on the outside looking in, oh God, at our church, that they would know and see your goodness, your faithfulness. They would see the fruit, Lord, of your Spirit. The things that they crave for in their life, when change happens, whether they want it or not, they would see and find hope in you, Jesus, as we have found hope in you, God. Lord, for those prayer requests I mentioned a moment ago, Lord, for that person that we've been praying for in our lives, for the number of people we've been interceding for on their behalf, God, we pray that the harvest would come sooner than later, but we trust your good and perfect time always. Lord, for those who need healing, we pray for healing. For those who need provision, God, we believe that you will provide. Those who are waiting on their answers to prayer, oh God, we trust that they would be faithful to follow you through the pain and the hardship, and that they would trust you again and again and again and again, because, God, you have proven yourself faithful again and again and again and again. Lord, would you continue to inspire us as we meet with one another, sing songs of praise to you, and gather, Lord, in the next couple weeks as we pause to celebrate your faithfulness for the last 50 years. Lord, we trust you for the next 50 as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.